Welcome to Mindful Meeting Podcast, a weekly podcast where minds meet to empower and mold the complete family. Every week, we share stories with you focused on our spiritual, financial, physical, mental, and emotional well-being and growth. And now, from the University of, well, nowhere, an expert in nothing really, but Somali tea is his specialty. Please welcome your host, King Abu.
Hello and welcome to episode number 6 of Mindful Meeting Podcast. I'm your host, King Abu. Today we're discussing whether or not being religious is the same thing as being spiritual. Are the two interchangeable or are they different? Why does being religious have such a negative connotation? Well, to help me understand and answer these questions, I invited Aida and Muhammad to the show. So let's just jump right into it. But before we do that, I would like to share with you a quote by Rumi, one of my favorite poets of all time. He said, "I looked in temples, churches, and mosques, but I found the divine within my heart." We will come back as to what Rumi means by that in a bit. But for right now, let's go ahead and understand the two terms. Muhammad, how would you define spirituality and religiosity?
To me, the main difference between spirituality and religiosity is religiosity encompasses more things. So religiosity is following the practices of a certain religion and following it to the T. So a Muslim follows the practice of Islam, Christian and Christianity, they have their own scriptures. And then I think spirituality is more to do with a part of any religion. You know, for example, the spirit, like the part of the human being that is more in linked with this higher power and love and having your own personal connection with God.
And how would you define the two terms, Aida?
I'm going to go ahead and agree with him as far as the spirituality goes. What I'm going to piggyback and add to is the practices that he's speaking on in terms of religiosity. I believe those practices really are the rules and doctrines that come with religion, regardless of the religion, you know, the do's, the don'ts, the rights, the wrongs. But in terms of that spirituality, yeah, I do believe it also is a part of religion. And it's really that connection to the higher power, the higher being, this consciousness that we have within ourselves. And I think that's what Rumi was getting at in the initial quote you started with.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing a lot from both of you is one of the main differences between spirituality and religiosity is that religiosity also comes with a set of regulations, rules, and laws. That could sound to be very restricting. Because, you know, when you have too many rules, regulations, and laws, and what have you, people may repel, right? So my question then is, would you guys agree with this statement based on the way you guys have defined the two terms, that everything that is bad stems from religion, while everything that's good stems from spirituality?
I don't really 100% agree with that. I don't think things are necessarily bad because they stem from religiosity. Is that a real word? You're not making that up, right? Okay, religiosity, right? Religiosity?
I believe so. I mean, I do make up words sometimes, but not this one.
Oh, it is a real word. It actually is. Yeah, that's a real word. Strong religious feeling or belief.
So I don't think it really is a bad thing. I'm not one of the belief that, you know, God is making us do bad things or he wants us to do bad things. As human beings, we all have a choice to do whatever it is that we want to do. We have this free will. Good and bad, that moral compass, is an argument within itself. I'm not going to put it on religion or give credit to spirituality in terms of what's good that's being done as well.
I would say that's definitely not a true statement. I mean, because religion, this idea that do's and don'ts or telling people you can do this or you can't do this is perceived as bad, that itself is a wrong notion. You know, and I'm sure we'll get more deeper into that later. But to answer this specific question, there's so many quote-unquote good things that people attribute to just saying I'm a spiritual person that when you dissect it, you say, okay, you're saying this is good, but is it really? Like, how do you even define what's good? You know, it's with religion, you get some sort of at least compass. With spirit, when people say, well, I can't say generally, but a lot of times the way that I've come across that people say spirituality, it's so vague to me what they define as good and bad. Whereas with religiosity, it's more clear, you know, what is considered more defined, what is good and bad. So when somebody says all bad things can be attributed to religion, all good things to spirituality, I think the first question we need to ask is, I mean, what is even good and bad? So I don't agree with that statement.
I got a question. So if religion is actually defining what's good and bad for you, then how can you not say that the bad is stemming from religion if you're saying the good and bad is within it?
Yeah, I mean, because this specific question was all bad things. And I guess the way that the question is perceived to me was kind of a negative way. Saying things are bad are, yes, they definitely go back to religions. Religions do state what is bad. But is that in itself a bad thing? I guess that's, to me, when the question was asked, it's almost saying, oh, it's better to say spiritual than religion because religion says there's bad things. I'm like, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Because you're saying there's a compass inside the religion already, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
As a Muslim, can you identify yourself as a spiritual person and not be religious, even though spirituality stems from within Islam?
Well, to me, again, I think you can be someone who says that I have a great relationship with my Lord. Because if we go back to the definition of spirituality, if we're saying that it's just having this connection with the higher power, this need within you that is drawn to this inner compass that's pointing you towards this direction of this higher power, this good force within you, and trying to connect with that, I think any Muslim can have that feeling without necessarily being quote-unquote religious. And by that I mean, you know, they may not be following all the rules of the religion, the do's, the don'ts, the halals and the harams and all those things. But if you were to go up to that person and say, do you feel close to God? They may say, yeah, I feel spiritually close to God and all these things. But to me, again, is that really the point of what we're trying to achieve? And to me, it's not.
So you're saying that you can be spiritual, but you also have to be religious to be spiritual. The ritualistic aspects has to come along with the two, the praying, the fasting, the reading of the Quran, etc., right? Otherwise, it would nullify the claim that you are a spiritual person.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying spiritual is so vague. Like, there's so many different ways spirituality can be defined based off of what practices you follow, your upbringing, your religion that you prescribe to. But Islamically speaking, I think spirituality is always linked with obedience to God, following, doing the halal, staying away from the haram. Like, spirituality is linked with that. You're increasing your iman, you're increasing your taqwa and all these, your piety is linked with obedience to God. So when someone says, I'm spiritual, but they don't actually follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the Quran or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to me, it's kind of contradictory.
Got it. Either would you agree with that or you have something different?
No, I don't actually agree. Going back to, can you identify yourself as a spiritual person and be religious at the same time? Yes. But can they be separated? I believe so. Because again, the religious aspect is what I think it stems from the doctrines, the halals, the harams, the do's, the don'ts that Muhammad's talking about. Spirituality is, like, you know, we talked about earlier, in short, it's this relationship and this connection with the divine. You can have that connection with the divine regardless of what your belief is and who the divine is and what the divine has actually said in terms of doctrine, you know? Because if I'm Muslim, my doctrines are going to be different if I'm a Sikh, you know, or if I'm a Jew. But the point is that we still at some point believe in a God or a multitude of gods depending on your religion. And these all encompass different aspects of spirituality. And you also have the fact that you can still be spiritual and not even necessarily identify with a particular religion.
Can I add something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's actually very perfectly said. I think you can be spiritual without, quote unquote, being religious. Because now that I think of it, I guess my answer is really saying the highest levels of spirituality. Like, if you want to really be considered to have a really close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah kind of tells you the way to do that. Like, for example, You know, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." You know, say, O Messenger, to the people, if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me, as in follow the Messenger, and God will love you. So it's like God is, if spirituality is kind of this connection with God and this love for God and all these things, definitely other religions can say, I love God, they follow God, they have this connection with the higher power, this creator, and no one can take that from them. I guess as a Muslim, what I was referring to is, you can definitely have that relationship with God no matter what. But if you want to have the highest levels and the greatest relationship with God in Islam, then it's through kind of paved through that road of obedience.
So earlier, like when I said you could be religious and not be spiritual, you know, it's in terms more so of just literally just following doctrine without actually building this relationship with the Lord without necessarily being religious.
Yeah, I mean, like what you were saying is, I think sometimes we as human beings, we understand that our relationship with each other, you know, just like we imagine, okay, you're my friend, you have a certain way that you want me to treat you, and I have a certain way that you want me to treat me. And if you do certain things that make me mad, I'll let you know. And if there's certain things that make you mad, you let me know. And we have that type of back and forth, give and take relationship. Sometimes I feel like we forget that our creator may have that as well. You know, obviously different religions have different beliefs on exactly God and what he expects from us and things of that nature. But if we're talking about Islam, if we go in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us numerous times that he has do's and don'ts for us, and he does it for love, and he does it for our interest. So if we want to have that relationship with him, I feel like he's already letting us know how to have that, and we should worship him the way he wants to be worshipped and not just do it the way we feel like it. I think that's really kind of the difference when you say spiritual and religious. With religiosity, I feel like you're worshiping your creator the way he wants you to worship him, where spirituality is kind of just this feeling within you that whatever makes you feel good with God and close with God, that's what you follow, even if it may contradict scriptures and things of that nature.
I really like how you put it. Being religious is following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and spirituality is more of us building a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love it. So we're speaking about the negative connotation associated with being a religious person or of any religion at a period, right? Especially Islam. They claim that religion controls how we think, how we feel, how we behave. And to a degree, I personally wouldn't disagree. They say that this behavior enables us to be judgmental people, right? And it doesn't allow us to grow. Would you guys agree with this assessment?
I think naturally as humans, we're already judgmental people. We have this inner judge within us. I think the difference is how we act on these initial judgments that we have. You know, this is how we base, like, what we build our relationships on. You judge whether you want to even have a relationship with somebody, regardless of the nature of that relationship, based on who you perceive them to be. Basically, because we're already naturally judgmental people, when you, going back to that whole spirituality versus religiosity, I'm sure you made that a word up, by the way. So if you're spiritual, you're really just trying to build this relationship with the divine. And it's really stems from this place of love where we're supposed to love one another. But when religion comes into play and you're talking about these doctrines, you know, like, for example, one of the most common ones, you know, you shouldn't be gay or homosexual or premarital sex and things of these nature. So once we see other people doing things like this, we forget to be tolerant of the fact that we all come from different backgrounds. And so because scripture says ABC about this person, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, so therefore you're a bad person. Now I'm just going to go ahead and chastise you because of what you say that you are and who you want to be, despite the fact that you, at the end of the day, still might be a good person. Heck, you might be a better person than me at the end of the day, but I'm placing this judgment on you because this is what scripture says that you shouldn't be doing. And because I see that you're doing that, I'm already assuming that you're a bad person.
That's very true. It's very unfortunate that people who, I guess this is how the term the haram police were coined, right? They see something that is considered haram, and everyone knows it's haram, you know, in Islam. And they'll go around and saying, oh man, you're doing something haram, you're doing something haram. And they're so focused on just pointing out all the haram things that people are doing, judging them for it. It's definitely this nasty culture does exist. In terms of religion controlling you, again, you see, I don't think that's a bad thing. And this is what I mean. Again, if we go back to the idea that religion gives you do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, everybody has to have a moral compass. It doesn't matter who you are on this planet. Everybody has their views on what's right and wrong. So when you prescribe to a religion and that religion tells you there's right and wrong, that to me is not the bad thing. The part that can get out of hand is the judgmental part and judging other people for not doing what's right. Because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge. He's the Maliki Yawmiddin. So when we see people doing quote unquote wrong things, it's not on us to go and condemn them to hell or, you know, say, oh, okay, because you're doing something, you know, scripturally wrong, that means you're a bad person. First of all, we can't really go to that level. You can say someone's doing a bad act, right? The action may be wrong, right? But you can't say because they're doing the wrong act, that makes them a bad person, if that makes sense. So it definitely exists. We can't deny that it exists, that people go in the name of religion judging others and all these things. But if we're talking about religion controlling how you should think and all these things, I don't think that's a bad thing.
But by saying that, you're saying that religion does control the way we think, feel, or behave, right? That's what you're saying?
Oh, for sure it does. There's no denying it. Just like spirituality, those who say spirituality, whatever train, they do the exact same thing. They may not be saying, okay, this is right based off of the Quran or something, but they are saying this is right based off of how they feel or what they've come across. Yeah, so I mean, everyone's always controlled by something.
I just think it's the word of control. It's the connotation that it has. I would like to use the word guide instead, both for the spirituality aspect and even religion. I don't think we should say that religion controls you. It guides you because of that, again, that aspect of the free will. Like, you know, even God said this book is to guide you, you know? It's, you know what I mean? Because now when we're talking about if something is controlling you, it kind of speaks to a lack of this ability to maneuver how you want to maneuver. So there would be no point in a right or wrong if you're controlled to do the right. You know what I mean?
I do get what you're saying, that you should always be able to be a human being who has room to disagree with people. And just because someone doesn't believe what you believe in, you can never condemn them to hell or just discriminate in all these things.
Exactly. Even within Muslims, this idea that so-and-so person, such and such person is going to go to hell because they didn't do X, Y, Z. I'm always fascinated and baffled by it because, like, hell or heaven does not belong to any of us. It belongs to Allah. It is His exclusive decision on who's going to enter either of those two places. We act like we own the places and say, you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven. I never understood that. But again, it's part of just being judgmental, you know? So what I notice is that what spiritual people or are those who practice spirituality as opposed to religiosity, it's all found in Islam. Like, for example, right? Yoga has been described as a form of a spiritual meditation. You could even argue that Salah, the prayer, serves that same purpose, in my opinion, right? Another aspect of spirituality is the mental and emotional growth through self-reflection, contemplation, and introspection, right? And when I look at the Quran, there are tens of verses in the Noble Quran that speak to this as well, where Allah is encouraging reflections, contemplations. One of my favorite passages in the Quran in Surah Al Imran, I think it's towards the end of the chapter, chapter 3. I can't remember the verses, but that entire passage talks about how we are reflecting while we are standing or sitting or laying down or anything, like whatever position we're in, we're constantly remembering and reflecting on the majestic creation of God and our own existence, right? So Again, they say spirituality doesn't focus on the material. It's the inner connection with the divine. I think Islam addresses that too. When you look at the famous hadith of Imam Ali, alayhi salam, where he says, "Man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba," he who knows his self will come to know of his Lord. I think that has nothing to do with material. It's all internally, right? So I think religion actually governs spirituality, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
I totally agree.
Just an agreement as well. Going back to what you were saying about like the yoga and like how it kind of like basically is like Salat. It kind of literally is. Like the Salat is literally just different yoga poses. And like when I look at the religion and I look at science and the spirituality aspect of that as well, how meditation affects the mind, the psyche, all these other things. Like when we're talking about like how religion, you know, governs our spirituality and how it does tell us to connect with the Lord. It's all things that we've already been doing, you know, whether you want to attribute it to religion, attribute it to God or science, whatever you do want to attribute it to, at the end of the day, it's the same thing.
Awesome. I love it. Do you guys have a favorite spiritual person, a non-Muslim spiritual person that you would say you look up to or at least admire his or her devotion to their own selves and their growth and character development and their relationship with their Lord?
No, the answer is a no for me.
Okay. And what about you, Muhammad?
I mean, I don't have necessarily one person that comes to mind, if I'm going to be honest. I have come across many, like, well, maybe on YouTube or just books I've come across of beautifully written and described spiritual, like just this connection with God, understanding that there's a higher purpose to life. You weren't created for no reason. Don't lose hope in God. You know, like these type of universal messages. Very, very beautiful. I can't from the top of my head say there's one person. I'm trying to remember, but there is many videos from non-Muslims that I've watched. And I said, wow, that made me feel closer to God. So for sure.
Okay. What if I say Muslim spiritual leaders?
Okay, yeah. For me, yeah, there is. I mean, in terms of, you know, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, there's so many scholars. For example, Sheikh Al-Tusi, Sheikh Al-Mufid, these like grand ones. And then just in our recent times, there's so many speakers, just normal, you know, speakers like Sayyid Ammar, Brother Hassan Yajib Ali, Sheikh Hussam Al-Atha. Like there's a lot of speakers that I listen to that make me feel closer to God or educate me in the religion, and just by educating me in the religion, I feel closer to God. So yeah, there's definitely people.
Do you guys have any books you would recommend on spirituality or just having a better relationship with our Lord?
I don't think I've actually read a book just based off spirituality, funny enough. I've kind of stumbled across spirituality by myself through my own reflection after, I guess, actually no, I do have a book. I take it back. I do have a book. And that book is the Holy Quran. That truly is, to me, the only book you possibly need. Of course, it's not the only one out there, but Quran, I think, is very, 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 very oppressed. We really don't give the Quran the power that it has to offer. Just simple translation. If you just read translation, I know a lot of people say the translations are hard to read, they're Shakespearean and all these things, but just sometimes even one or two verses may just get your mind rolling and open a world of reflection, and you'll go down that and another verse will come and say one thing and it'll hit you in the heart. And if you just spend time reading the Quran and really pondering over the verses, I don't see how someone could not leave it feeling closer with God.
Some, you spoke about some people may not like the translations because it may be Shakespearean or difficult to comprehend. I do want to recommend one of the easiest English translation of the Holy Quran that I've come across myself last Ramadan by the name of Muhammad Awais Malik. If you YouTube his name, the entire Quran, all 114 chapters will show up, and it's all English. It's not like Arabic, then English, you know. It's all English, easy to follow along with the story and the translation. The linguistics aspect of it is very, very simple and easy to comprehend and follow along, at least in my opinion. I will also include that in the show notes for those who want to look it up. I came across an inspirational speaker by the name of Mastin Kipp. He's the author of Daily Love, Growing with Grace. He said that spirituality is the measure of how willing we are to allow grace, capital G, some power greater than ourselves, to enter our lives and guide us along our way. Dr. Brené Brown, an expert in vulnerability and empathy, defined spirituality in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, as recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than all of us, and that our connection to that power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. Practicing spirituality brings a sense of perspective, meaning, and purpose to our lives. When I read these quotes, honestly, the only thing that really comes to mind is Islam, for me personally. When you hear those two quotes from those two respected authors, what do you guys, what comes to your mind?
Man, those are very, very beautiful quotes. Very, very beautiful. Like when he says spirituality is the measure of how willing we are to allow grace, some power greater than ourselves, to enter our lives and guide us along the our way. To me, that's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know? I mean, if you allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your heart and allow him to guide you in every step of the way, I mean, what greater feeling is there than that? I mean, there's even a beautiful tradition that comes to mind, Hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Oh my servant, I created everything for you, and I created you for me." You know, another one, he talks about how there's nothing in this world that could encompass God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "There's nothing in this world that could encompass me except the heart of my believing servant." And these verses really paint to me that loving Lord that we sometimes just are not willing to, you know, let in our lives and guide us in every decision. But when we let everything else go and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of take the wheel, and, you know, he be the eye that we see with and the ears that we hear with, I think that to me is ultimate spirituality. The second quote, when she says practicing spirituality gives a sense of perspective, meaning, and purpose to our lives, when people ask themselves, why am I even here? Greatest purpose to me comes from God. Like, he's the one that makes you feel that there's more to you than, you know, your just what you do and who you are and things of that nature. You were created for something greater than you could possibly imagine. And that to me is such a beautiful way to live your life. That's why I love these quotes.
Yeah, similar sentiments. But before I get on that, I do want to kind of backtrack to what we were talking about previously with the translation. And Muhammad mentioned how the Quran is that sometimes is just condemned at this point because of the, you know, the negative connotations and the religious doctrines that come along with it. And, you know, people look at the text and it is a, you know, it's holy text, but at the end of the day, people forget that it's still just text, you know, and people don't, you know, they don't want to really look at the translation because, again, they say it's just Shakespearean and this, that, and the next. But I've seen that people tend to do this with religious texts of, you know, multiple religions, is they kind of dismiss it because, you know, it has metaphorical things, it has literal things, you know. This is, at the end of the day, is still poetry. Like, if you look at the text, it's poetry, you know, so it's going to have different elements to it. In the same way that we're in grade school and we analyze Shakespeare, you know, we tend to not bring that same approach when we're talking about religious texts. And I think that's very, very unfair, because you could look at the text and you can see that it's not necessarily contradictory, but it's a different element. Sometimes, you know, the Lord is speaking in a metaphorical sense. Sometimes it's a literal sense, but we tend to look at it for what it is at face value instead of dissecting it and digging into it a little bit more, the same way that we do academia. And I think that's very unfair. Fast forwarding back to the last point with the quotes, practicing spirituality brings a sense of perspective, meaning, and purpose to our lives. I think that's, again, that is what, you know, like you said, that Islam comes to mind. And I think that's just really what it is, because these doctrines that are in place when we're talking about religion, like we spoke about earlier, it's to help us with our spirituality. So, of course, you're definitely going to find that within the religion.
Absolutely. The thing is about the Quran just like when you give that example of dissecting a one line, a poetic line or something like that, and you see, you notice your classmates all have different perspective, right? They're probably writing different essays on just that one line because it is how it resonates with them, how they can relate to it, right? And the Quran, I look at it exactly the same way. When we read one verse of the Holy Quran, it may mean something to you, Muhammad. That same verse may mean something different to Aida, and then it may mean something entirely different to me. It's because also we are shaped by our own experiences, our perceptions, and how we perceive the world, how we process information, right? All of those are factored in when it comes to the Quran as well. It's not an exception, like when you're studying academic subjects, right? It's the same thing. Not just the Quran, really. I think any religious scriptures is bashed because it's attached to a particular religion, and religion in itself has a negative connotation. I think that's all it is.
Yeah, I would say one thing, though. I mean, I don't believe, I just said something that I don't think I don't agree with, and that's Quran is like poetry. The Quran is not necessarily poetry. There's some verses of the Quran where God speaks in a very poetic way, right? But the Quran is way more complex than just poetry. That's why when you said right now, one verse may resonate with you in a certain way, one verse may, yeah, that's in terms of like what comes to mind when we read that verse. But one thing that we have to be careful about is to not, and I guess we could have this discussion another time, but not really let our own experiences and what we went through in our lives translate the verses of God that way. It's more of just like reflect, how does it make you feel? But when it comes to like translating the actual meaning of the verse, that's way more, I think, complex. And I wanted to say what you said about dissecting the verses and all those things. I truly think that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even tells us to do in the Quran. You know, when we read verses like أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا, you know, do they not reflect and ponder over this Quran, or are their hearts locked? You know, many times he tells us أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, you know, do they not think, do they not ponder, do they not reflect? You know, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us to ask questions. So you're right. Like in school, I remember like English literacy class or whatever, there'd be like one line of like a poem, and we'd spend like 45 minutes writing essays about it and all these things. And we're like, what the heck are you talking about? This, that, and the energy and the light and all. But that's beautiful. Like the one line, and they dissect like so many meanings. It's just more of like you read the Quran, and then whatever comes to your mind, how does it make you feel? What comes to your mind? Reflect on the verses. I think that's really what we're supposed to do and encourage each other to do.
Muhammad, you already know how I close out the show. Aida, first of all, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Yes, sir. The way we like to close out the show is have one last question. What is your message to humanity?
Spread love. I have a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
Spell religiosity.
R-E-L-I-G-I-O-S-I-U-S-I-T-Y.
Okay, cool.
Yeah?
No.
No?
There's no you in there.
Oh, shoot. I knew it.
I told you guys he made it up. No.
Still don't believe it's a word.
How did I spell it right then? I hesitated on the you. I was like, is there a you?
Because you were making up the spelling on the spot because you already made up the word.
But how did you know I got it right then without the you?
I'm just looking at, you know, the dictionary.
Oh, so it is in the dictionary. Therefore, I did not make it up.
I'm sure you put it in there at the beginning of this episode. This is a custom-made dictionary, guys.
But anyway, Muhammad, what is your message to humanity?
My message to humanity is pretty much just, I think this episode was perfect because it really is, really form their relationship with God. That relationship with God is the most important relationship we can ever form in our lives. And whatever direction, try to find your way to God and don't shun him out. Let him in.
Thank you once again, guys, for being on the show. I appreciate you. Inshallah, we'll have you around next time. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to Mindful Meeting Podcast. If this episode has positively affected you in any way and inspired you to continue empowering and molding the complete family, then please continue to support us by spreading the word across your social media. We'd greatly appreciate it if you leave us a review. We value your feedback. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a topic suggestion, visit our website at www.mindful-meeting.com.
Lord, that we sometimes just are not willing to, you know, let in our lives and guide us in every decision. But when we let everything else go and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of take the wheel, and, you know, He be the eye that we see with and the ears that we hear with, I think that to me is ultimate spirituality. The second quote, when she says practicing spirituality gives a sense of perspective, meaning, and purpose to our lives, people ask themselves, why am I even here? The greatest purpose to me comes from God. Like, He's the one that makes you feel that there's more to you than, you know, your just what you do and who you are and things of that nature. You were created for something greater than you could possibly imagine. And that to me is such a beautiful way to live your life. That's why I love these quotes.
Yeah, similar sentiments. But before I get on that, I do want to kind of backtrack to what we were talking about previously with the translation. And Muhammad mentioned how the Quran is that sometimes is just condemned at this point because of the, you know, the negative connotations and the religious doctrines that come along with it. And, you know, people look at the text and it is a, you know, it's holy text, but at the end of the day, people forget that it's still just text, you know, and people don't, you know, they don't want to really look at the translation because, again, they say it's just Shakespearean and this, that, and the next. But I've seen that people tend to do this with religious texts of, you know, multiple religions, is they kind of dismiss it because, you know, it has metaphorical things, it has literal things, you know. This is, at the end of the day, is still poetry. Like, if you look at the text, it's poetry, you know, so it's going to have different elements to it. In the same way that we're in grade school and we analyze Shakespeare, you know, we tend to not bring that same approach when we're talking about religious texts. And I think that's very, very unfair, because you could look at the text and you can see that it's not necessarily contradictory, but it's a different element. Sometimes, you know, the Lord is speaking in a metaphorical sense. Sometimes it's a literal sense, but we tend to look at it for what it is at face value instead of dissecting it and digging into it a little bit more, the same way that we do academia. And I think that's very unfair. Fast forwarding back to the last point with the quotes, practicing spirituality brings a sense of perspective, meaning, and purpose to our lives. I think that's, again, that is what, you know, like you said, that Islam comes to mind. And I think that's just really what it is, because these doctrines that are in place when we're talking about religion, like we spoke about earlier, it's to help us with our spirituality. So, of course, you're definitely going to find that within the religion.
Absolutely. The thing is about the Quran, just like when you give that example of dissecting a one line, a poetic line or something like that, and you see, you notice your classmates all have different perspective, right? They're probably writing different essays on just that one line, because it is how it resonates with them, how they can relate to it, right? And the Quran, I look at it exactly the same way. When we read one verse of the Holy Quran, it may mean something to you, Muhammad. That same verse may mean something different to Aida, and then it may mean something entirely different to me. It's because also we are shaped by our own experiences, our perceptions, and how we perceive the world, how we process information, right? All of those are factored in when it comes to the Quran as well. It's not an exception. Like when you're studying academic subjects, right? It's the same thing. any, not just the Quran, really, I think any religious scriptures is bashed because it's attached to a particular religion, and religion in itself has a negative connotation. I think that's all it is.
Yeah, I would say one thing, though. I mean, I don't believe, like, I just said something that I don't think we should, I don't agree with, and that's Quran is like poetry. The Quran is not necessarily poetry. There's some verses of the Quran where God speaks in a very poetic way, right? But the Quran is way more complex than just poetry. That's why when you said right now, one verse may resonate with you in a certain way, one verse may, yeah, that's in terms of like what comes to mind when we read that verse. But one thing that we have to be careful about is to not, and I guess we could have this discussion another time, but not really let our own experiences and what we went through in our lives translate the verses of God that way. It's more of just like reflect, how does it make you feel? But when it comes to like translating the actual meaning of the verse, that's way more, I think, complex. And I wanted to say what you said about dissecting the verses and all those things. I truly think that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even tells us to do in the Quran. You know, when we read verses like أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا, you know, do they not reflect and ponder over this Quran, or are their hearts locked? You know, many times he tells us أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, you know, do they not think, do they not ponder, do they not reflect? You know, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us to ask questions. So you're right. Like in school, I remember like English literacy class or whatever, there'd be like one line of like a poem and we'd spend like 45 minutes writing essays about it and all these things. And we're like, what the heck are you talking about? This, that, and the energy and the light and all that. But that's beautiful. Like they one line and they dissect like so many meanings. It's just more of like you read the Quran and then whatever comes to your mind, how does it make you feel? What comes to your mind? Reflect on the verses. I think that's really what we're supposed to do and encourage each other to do.
Muhammad, you already know how I close out the show. First of all, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Yes, sir. The way we like to close out the show is have one last question. What is your message to humanity?
Spread love. I have a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
Spell religiosity.
R-E-L-I-G-I-O-S-I-U-S-I-T-Y.
Okay, cool.
Yeah?
No.
No?
There's no you in there.
Oh, shoot, I knew it.
I told you guys he made it up. No.
Still don't believe it's a word.
How did I spell it right then? I hesitated on the you. I was like, is there a you?
Because you were making up the spelling on the spot because you already made up the word.
But how did you know I got it right then without the you?
I'm just looking at, you know, the dictionary.
Oh, so it is in the dictionary. Therefore, I did not make it up.
I'm sure you put it in there at the beginning of this episode. This is a custom-made dictionary, guys.
But anyway, Muhammad, what is your message to humanity?
My message to humanity is pretty much just, I think this episode was perfect because it really is, really form that relationship with God. That relationship with God is the most important relationship we can ever form in our lives. And whatever direction, try to find your way to God and don't shun him out. Let him in.
Thank you once again, guys, for being on the show. I appreciate you. Inshallah, we'll have you around next time. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to Mindful Meeting Podcast. If this episode has positively affected you in any way and inspired you to continue empowering and molding the complete family, then please continue to support us by spreading the word across your social media. We'd greatly appreciate it if you leave us a review. We value your feedback. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a topic suggestion, visit our website at www.mindful-meeting.com. Oh.